The morning today's daf in Baba Kama is Yudalin. Thank you, Lubin Foundation, for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lurzech and Nishmas Libeg, available by Shmuel. We're on Yudgim Omid Beis. We're going to start at the two dots. We started yesterday already. We got a little bit into this Gemara, but let's begin from the beginning of the Sugya Nechas Mahamiyuchadim. It's a quarter of the way down on Yudgim Omid Beis. And the Gemara is picking apart the Mishnah. Mishnah gave us a number of basic rules in terms of when a person would be chayv and nezik, that's and any of the damages that is incurred as a result of his property goes out and damages others. So the Mishnah gives us a list of times where conditions in which you would be chayv. One of the conditions that was set forth in the Mishnah is that it has to be nechasim hamiyuchadim, has to be secured property or owned property. To which the Gemara asks a very simple question, Lamute Mai. Well, what do you mean? Owned property as opposed to what? Unowned property? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Lamute Zeo Mershor Chayizik, Vizeo Mershor Chayizik. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the perpetrator of the damage is definitely owned by somebody. It just happens to be. I don't know who owns it. There are two possible oxen who gored my animal, and so there are two candidates in terms of who I can go to. I just don't know who to go to. So the Gemara says, Tanila Kaman, Ayushneim, Rodfim Acher, Acher Echad, Zeal Mashur Chayizik, Vizeal Mashur Chayizik, Shneim Peturim. So the Gemara's problem is that it's the halacha is very good. It's very sound halacha. It just happens to be. The Mishnah is going to teach it to us later on. So why would our Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah going all the way back to Daf Testament Beis, why would our Mishnah make a reference to it, a loose reference to it, when truth be told is that it's going to be told later on? So the Gemara says, Taniva Hadamafarish. The Gemara says, okay, but that's a style. Style is which the Mishnah mentions the halacha on Daf Test, and the Mishnahites later on are going to say it more explicitly. As long as we're on this topic of owned property versus unowned property, so the Gemara is now going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa relates. So the Braisa says is that when is there going to be an exemption from having to pay damages? When the possessions, the property, is owned by nobody. It's hefker. It's unowned property. To which the Gemara says, let's think about this for a moment. Let's think about this for more than just a moment. Let's say my ox gores a ox that belongs to nobody. So mantavale. So the Gemara says, I don't need a halacha. I just need basic common sense. No one's going to claim money from me. It's owned by nobody. So Gemara says, okay, so I don't need a halacha for that. So ella hanach tura dehefker latura didan. Okay, so my ox was damaged by ox that belonged to nobody. So the Gemara says, Leza v'leise. So the Gemara says, again, it's pretty straightforward what you should do. The ox that gored, so you should take that ox. Meaning, obviously, there is no owner of the ox, and I can't go after any owner to pay for payment. Okay, but I'll go after the ox itself. And the ox that did damage, the ownerless ox that did damage to my ox, I just simply take it home, and whatever its value is great. It's a windfall. So the Gemara says, "B'shikide v'zacha bo acher." So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're describing, however, is when, after a hefker ox does damage to my ox, then, before I was able to take it, somebody else picked it up. Right? Call a kodem zacha. Whoever gets the hefker first gets to keep it. So somebody else picked it up. And now it's a chiddush. Because now you would have thought that I should be able to go after the animal. Granted, right now the animal does have an owner, but when it did damage the animal owed me, right? Especially if you consider that we're talking about a tam, and the nezik is paid megufo, so you could have made an argument that the animal owes me, and not only owes me, but the animal itself owes me. So I could have thought that chiyuv continues even after somebody else picks it up. That's all the havamina, and now we have a chiddush. Now we have a maskana. No, because there was no owner at the time of the damage, so therefore there is no chov that goes on the animal. Anyone who picks it up gets to keep the animal.
Is it the first time or is it down to zero? What is it down? Probably zero. I assume so. But that's a guess.
Ravina Amar Lamute Nagavacha Kachikdish Nagavacha Kachivkir. So Ravina says, I'm going to say another Pshah in the Braisa. And the Pshah, again, the Braisa says that we're coming to exclude something that belongs, something that's ownerless. So, exactly what are we talking about? We're talking about the animal was owned, the animal did damage, and then afterwards, I declared it to be ownerless. Or, let me go in the correct order. Nagach v'acharkach hikdish. It gored, and then afterwards I was makdish the animal. It gored, and afterwards I was mafka the animal. So Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara brings a brisa, and this brisa is going to support this as well. Yes, Alkain. In addition to that, Rashi over here, yes, Alkain is always a continuation of a previous statement. So the... Rashi over here doesn't mention. So yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda. Fill nagach v'achakachikdish, nagach v'achakachifker potter. If it does a negich and afterwards I makdish the animal. If it does a negich and afterwards I declare the animal to be ownerless, potter, I'm going to be exempt. Exemption over here is an exemption from what? Now we can take a look at Rashi. Lemute nagach v'achakachikdish. Achim mashma shiyum yichadim la'adam echad la'olam mishas negicha ad shas hamada bedin. We're talking about where my animal not only gored, but my animal gored and killed somebody. So now my animal is going to be sent to trial. My animal is going to be put in front of a Beis Din for trial. So if after the negicha, either I declare it ownerless or I makdish it, so it doesn't stand trial. It's exempt. Why? Shenemar v'huad bevalav v'hemis ish v'chulei. So because the Torah says that there's a testimony against not only the animal, but the owner of the animal as well. Meaning it's just part of the requirements of standing the animal in court. That only will be the case if there's an owner to the animal. So the only time the animal will stand court is when the wrongful death and the hamada bedin, the animal going to court, is still the animal is going to have an owner throughout the course of that time, right? And one singular owner owns the animal. In the case where I was makdish it, there's a new owner, the Beis Hamikdash. In the case where I was mafker it, there is not a new owner, but it's not the original owner. So the Gemara says, just as a technical point, the Gemara didn't lo be'ina. Now, we said hamada bedin, which means where it stands in front of court. What about the court case itself? So the Gemara says, ha'ashor yisakev, the Gemara didn't u'dichziv. Because consider that we're describing right now the execution of the ox that killed somebody. So if we're talking about the execution, we're not just talking about Hamad Bedin, we're talking about the Gemar Din. So the Gemara says, okay, well, so we'll make that small correction. Meaning that the only time the animal is going to stand trial is only while it has an owner during the entire process. One single owner during the entire process. From the time the animal killed to the time that the animal was put in front of court to the time of the Gemar Din, the execution of the animal.
Okay. How about this? Is it make a difference what it might be? It might be Shlomin, according to that Joshua Gmil, it still is, no?
It's interesting. It's interesting. It's right. Yeah, right. Right. Okay. Just leave it as a good question. I don't know.
Do you do that as a way of getting out of it?
I mean, yeah, you can get out of it, but in other words, yeah, I understand. You're going to lose it either way. So you're going to lose the animal either way. Yeah. So getting out of it, meaning you're getting out of the animal out of execution. Okay, could be.
Are you still liable though?
You'll be liable for any damages. The issue under discussion is when the animal is going to be put to death.
Right.
Okay. So any damages that occurs on the damager's property, so the damager is going to be exempt. And the Gemara provides a very simple explanation. And the explanation is very simple. Trespassing. It's my property. So yes, my ox damaged your ox. But your ox was on my property. And it's... You had no right to be on my property. Since you had no right to be on my property, so basically any damages that occur while on my property, I'm going to be exempt from. You had no business being there. Okay, very simple argument. The Gemara continues. Rishus anizek v'amazik. Okay. And then we go on to the next part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah describes the property of both, nizak and mazik. Amar chisar amar avime, chasar ashutta. Okay, now we get on to the following discussion, and just as a brief introduction. Okay. We know that there are various categories of damages. We learned that since day one of the Masechta. And basically, when it comes to an ox, so you could look at three different types of damages. There's number one, there's Karen, which is Negicha, when the animal basically puts its head down and gore is another animal, another human being. There's shein, and then there's regel. Shein is the damage that the animal does while eating. Regel is the damage done while the animal is walking. Okay, now, the basic halacha goes like this. The basic halacha. That when it comes to Karen, so in terms of where the damages occur, you're always going to be liable. Right now we're talking about location. Not talking about the amount that you have to pay. We're talking about geographically where the damages occur. So, by Karen, so I'm always going to have to pay. Again, if it's a Tom, it's Chatzi Nezek. If it's a Muah, Nezek Shalem. But in terms of where the damages occur, I'm always going to have to pay, barring, with one exception, if the damage occurs on my property. Because again, on my property, what business did you have going on my property? You didn't belong on my property, so therefore any damage that occurs on my property, I'm going to be exempt. But barring that, when it comes to Karen, I'm always going to be obligated. What about Shein V'Regel? So Shein V'Regel has the following exception. And that is, you are not going to be responsible for damages occurred Shein V'Regel in the Rishus HaRabim. If I'm in a public domain, so then I'm not going to be obligated for Shein V'Regel. Now you could see this as a logical position. Okay, whether or not the logic is really what's dictating the halacha, not saying that, but at least we can understand it. Meaning, what is Shein V'Regel? Shein V'Regel, V'Regel is the easiest to envision. Regel means that damage is occurring while the animal is walking. In a Rishus HaRabim, the animal has every right to walk in a Rishus HaRabim. So because it has permission to traverse through a Rishus HaRabim, so, in other words, everyone else needs to be careful about the animal that's walking through a Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, the animal is going to have an exemption. Now, I said therefore, but again, I'm not saying that the logic is what is dictating the halacha. It's an easy way for us to understand it. And the same thing is true regarding shein. Shein is any damages that the animal does while eating. The animal is going to eat. If we're in a Rishus HaRabim, you should expect the animal is going to eat. So if you have apples that are open, and the animal comes and eats the apples in the Rishus HaRabim, okay, that's something that you should have been more careful about. And so therefore, the owner of the animal is going to be exempt for Shein V'Regel in the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so the very basic distinction between Karen versus Shein V'Regel. Karen, you're always going to be obligated except for Rishus HaMazik. Shein V'Regel, you're going to be exempt from those payments, from those damages in the Rishus HaRabim. Now...
And your Rishus also.
And on your... Yeah, yes, and your Rishus as well. Okay.
Marketplace?
A marketplace, yeah. Marketplace would... Ostensibly, a marketplace would be a public area. Ostensibly. Now, with all that stated, so now we're going to be discussing some of the finer points over here, and now we're going to talk about a property that's not singularly owned, but at the same time it's not a Rishus HaRabim. So it's a privately owned public domain. Okay, so was that confusing enough? So the, or, like in other words, a hotel. Okay, hotel lobby. A shopping mall. Okay, so basically, areas that are private but public. Okay, so the way the Gemara is going to phrase it is going to be very simple. What about property that's owned both by the Mazik and by the Nizak? Okay, a partnered area. So Amrav Chista Amrav Imichatzah Shutvim Chayva Al Hashem VaAl HaRegel. So according to Rav Chista, says the name of Avimi, if you have a courtyard that is owned by both the Mazik and the Nizak, so you'd be obligated for Shein V'Regel and Hachikamer. And in terms of the reading of the Mishnah, this is how you're going to read the Mishnah. Chutz Merushus HaMiuchedes LaMazik DePater. The exclusion in the Mishnah is property that's owned by the Mazik, where you're going to be exempt. Kama. Now, Urushus HaNizik VaMazik, and now the next phrase of the Mishnah is a totally new phrase. It's an independent clause. And what it means to say is that in a property that's owned by both the Nizak and the Mazik, Kishihizik Chava Mazik, so when damage has occurred, you're going to be obligated. So, according to Rav Chista, when the Mishnah described the jointly owned property where the Mazik and the Nizak own the property and Shein and Regel damages occur in that, there's not going to be an exemption, there's going to be an obligation. Rabbi Lazar Amar Pater al Shein v'al Regel. Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar says that if this property is owned jointly by the Mazik and by the Nizak, so then you're going to be exempt. meaning the only time there's going to be liability, according to Rebbe Lazar, is only when the animal goes into the Nizak's property. Then and only then is there going to be an obligation. It's pshat in the pasuk, meaning the Torah says ubir bistei acher. The animal went ahead and ate in somebody else's field, meaning that the only time you're going to be obligated is when the animal goes exclusively into somebody else's field. This is the way Rav Elazar understands it. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, v'achi kamar. This is how he's going to read the Mishnah. Chutz mirishusim miyuchas lamazik. In other words, the comma in the Mishnah or the semicolon in the Mishnah is not going to go before the phrase Urishus Hanizek V'Hamazik. Rather, it's going to go after the phrase. And so therefore, the Rishus Hanizek V'Hamazik is going to be lumped together with the expression with the previous expression of Rishus HaMiyuchedes LaMazik. And just like we know that there's going to be exemption where damages occur on the Mazik's property, there's also going to be exemption when damage occurs on jointly owned property. And then as far as the next phrase in the Mishnah, well, that's after the semicolon. And that next phrase in the Mishnah, well, that's talking about Karen. And as I pointed out in the intro, the Karen obligation, you're going to have to pay almost under all circumstances. The only exemption by Karen is going to be when it was in the Rishus of the Mazik. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have now two ways to read the Mishnah with a very basic distinction in terms of these two ways of how to read the Mishnah. Either the phrase Rishus HaMazik VeHanizak, Rishus HaNizak VeHamazik, either that's going to the previous clause of the Mishnah, or it's going to the clause that comes afterwards. And the difference being is that according to Rav Chisda, it is going with the second clause, with the clause that occurs after it, meaning that for Shein V'Regel you're going to have to pay even if it's a jointly owned property. Even though that property is not exclusively owned by the Nizak, still, that still qualifies for Ubir B'Stei Acher. Whereas according to Rabbi Lazar, no exemption. If it's a jointly owned property, so then I don't have to pay. Why? Because the Torah says Ubir B'Stei Acher. In other words, for the Shein V'Regel payment, it only occurs when the damages occur on the property of the Nizak. Now, in terms of these two different ways of reading the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, now, that's very good if you hold like Shmuel. This takes us back to day one of the Masechta, 2 weeks ago, where when we opened up our Mishnah, the Mishnah gave us four categories. And the first of the four categories is Shur. Now, included in Shur, what did the Mishnah mean by Shur? So according to Shmuel, Shur meant Shur, According to Shmuel, Shur meant only Karen. Now, in terms of Shein V'Regel, so that is deduced in other areas in the Mishnayos. But Shur only meant made reference to Karen. According to Rav, Shur meant everything. Shur meant Karen, Shein, and Regel. So, L'Rav, Damar, Tana, Shur, V'chol, Mila, Yishur, Chava, Mazik, La'asui, Amai. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rav, everything is good. Meaning because in terms of the redundancy in the Mishnah and Daf Tes Amud Beis, we have halachas that we need to deduce. But according to Rav, where all the information is contained in the first Mishnah, what is the necessity of the repetition on the Mishnah and Daf Tes Amud Beis? L'asui, Amai, L'asui, Hadatan, Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it's coming to include the following. K'shehizik Chava Mazik, Lahavi, what is it coming to include the following? Shomer Chinam, Shoel, Nosi Socher, V'Hasocher, all different types of custodians who are entrusted to watch things. Each one having various degrees of levels of liability based on how much benefit they get from the item. But anyway, they're basically different types of custodians. Shizika Behema Bershusan, where damages occurred on their property, Tam Mishlam Chasi Nezek, Umur Mishlam Nezek Shalem. So if it is a if it's a animal with no record or little record, so you pay chatzi nezek. If it's an animal that has a record and has damaged three previous occasions, you pay nezek shalem. Nifrat sabalayla osha partsua listin v'yatsa v'zika. However, even as a custodian, let's say middle of the night, the wall falls down, the animals leave. Circumstances totally beyond your control. What we would call ones. Or, let's say, robbers come and knock down the wall. So then, damages occur, pater. You're going to be exempt. Because that's what we call ones. Adkan, that's the brisa. And in terms of what the Mishnah is coming to include, according to Rav, the Gemara says, there you have it. According to Rav, the second Mishnah, the Mishnah Daf Tesamid Beis, is coming to include all these various cases of Shomer. Amar Mar, let us go back. Various custodians. Hechi dami. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider now. Damage occurred between my animal and the custodian's animal. Right now, I'm not saying who damaged whose, but right now there is damage that occurred. So the Gemara says, what we have now is a Mishnah and a Braisa, both teaching us that there's going to be a liability. The Gemara says, let us consider. Ilema de asketura de shoel, sorry, de mashil, latura de shoel. Okay, so let us, I'm going to have an ox over here. Phil is going to be my custodian. And I'm going to, I'm going to ask Phil if he can watch my ox. He agrees. And so let us say now that that while my ox is in Phil's possession and he's a custodian, so the tour of the mashil, and he's borrowing. Okay, so even as a borrower though, he's a custodian. So let's say that my ox did damage to his ox. So the Gemara says, lema lay. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's consider. So what just happened? My ox, while under his care and under his watch, did damage to his ox. So I'm going to say them the following. Ilu azik ba'alma ba'is l'shlumei. Now wait one second. You were the custodian of the animal, which means that you're supposed to watch the animal and guard the animal and make sure it doesn't do damage. And had it done damage to any other animal, so you, sorry Phil, you would have been on the hook. You would have been responsible to have to pay for those damages. So just because it damaged one of your own animals, what difference does it make? So Azik Ba'ama Ba'is L'Shlumei At Hasha De Azik L'Tor Didach, it damaged one of your animals, but Ba'is L'Shlumei. But certainly, you're still going to have to pay. What difference does it make who the animal damaged? The animal was under your care. You're responsible for watching it. You took on the liability of any damages that it does. You're going to be responsible for. So you're going to have to pay. So, huh? What do you mean by? No. In other words, huh?
Who's watching?
In other words, the damage one, he's going to have to suffer, meaning he's going to have to suffer the loss. But it's not going to be on me. Okay. Ella de azke tur de shoa la tur de masha. So the Gemara says, okay, so must be, again, same scenario. I lent an animal to Phil, and then while the animal was under Phil's care, so then one of Phil's animals damaged my animal while under his care. So the Gemara says, le malay, ilu itzak me'ama ba'is l'shlumei kulei turah. So the Gemara says, well, now let's consider. You see, my animal was over by Phil's house, and he was responsible for that animal. Now, let's say another animal came and did damage to my animal. Phil being the custodian, and here he's a shoa, which means he has the highest level of liability. But regardless, he's being the shoa. So if anything were to happen to my animal under his care, he's got to pay. And when I say he's got to pay full damages. So now imagine Phil comes at me with the following argument. And he says to me, well, look, it wasn't just any animal that damaged your animal while under my care. It was my very own animal. But I will say this. My very own animal didn't expect it coming. My very own animal is a Tom. No record or very little record in terms of a history of goring. And so therefore, I'd like to make the argument that yes, of course, I owe you, but I only owe you chatzi nesek, because my animal gored your animal. My animal's a tom, so therefore I'm going to pay you for half damages. So the Gemara asks incredulously, can Phil really make that argument? Meaning, if somebody else gored my animal while under his care, regardless of how the history of the animal that damaged, Phil took on the responsibility of watching my animal, and therefore is going to have to pay for any and all damages occurred to my animal. So once the animal is under his care, what difference would it make whether it was an outside animal that gored my animal or it was Phil's very own animal that gored my animal. Phil's argument of it's a tamen, and only you'll have to pay a chatzi nezek, is not going to be true in this case because he's a shomer, taking on the full responsibility and liability for having to reimburse me. So the Gemara says, so now we are basically at an impasse, meaning we're looking for a pshat in the Braisa that describes Nezek in the context of a Shomer, but the Gemara says, we just went over both permutations, and under both circumstances, you're a Shomer. You have to pay full damages. And where does the rules of Nezek fit in? So the Gemara says, well, olam da'aske tur damashal tur d'shoa. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back and we're going to suggest what we rejected earlier, but we're going to revisit the case where the Mashal's ox, my ox, went ahead and gored one of his oxen. V'hacha b'maiskinan, shekibo alav shmiras gufo, v'lo kibo alav shmiras nizakov. Where Phil took on a limited form of custodian. Yeah. You can, we're going to see this, and I'm going to say this time and again throughout the Bavas. The Torah gives us a baseline halacha in terms of what your liability is. If you want to rewrite the rules by Shomrim, in general, generally by Mamonos, you could do so. You can stipulate. It's not a violation of Masa Mashakasa
B'Torah.
It has to be in writing. Ask like a true lawyer. So I don't know. Good question. I don't know. So the Shekiba alav shmiras gufo, velo kiba alav shmiras nezakov. So in other words, in this case, I meaning Phil. Phil took on the shmira of if anything happens to the animal, fine. But if your animal does damage, I do not accept that as part of my liability. So that was stipulated, either orally or written. I don't know the answer to Alan's question, but that was stipulated beforehand, and since that was stipulated beforehand, so now there is no longer, if the animal does damage to other animals, now the shomer has declined liability for such an event, and so therefore we go to the basic rules of Nezek. So the Gemara says, Avlokibalav Shmiras Nezakov, Iahachiem Asefa. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, well then let's consider. Because the Braisa went on, and we read this Braisa. But now the Gemara says, let's revisit this. Nifritzabalailo Shapartsu Listim Vyatsav Izika Potter. So the Braisa described a scenario in which if the wall breaks in the middle of the night, we didn't expect this to happen, or if robbers come in and break the wall, and again, circumstances beyond your control, so you, the shomer, are going to be potter, which implies very clearly, haba yom chayav, that if this occurred during the day, so then the shomer would be chayav. But didn't we say, halo kiba alav shmiras nezakov? But didn't we give the ukimta in the brisa and say very clearly that we're talking about a scenario where this particular shomer did not accept upon himself the responsibility for any damages that the animal does to others? So the Gemara says, fine. Achi Kamar. Gemara says, we'll just read it into the Braisa. Im kiba alav shmiras nezakov chayav, nifritz abalaila, oshipritz azalitzim yatzav izika pater. So the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to insert one more clause in the Braisa. That if I accept it upon myself, not only shmiras gufo, but shmiras nezakov, damages that occur to the animal, any damages that the animal does to somebody else, if I accept all that liability, so then my only exemption is going to be if something happened that was beyond my control.
It doesn't matter if it's day or night.
Right. At night you're an ones. Right. During the day you're not an ones. You're a poshea. But at night you're an ones. Okay. Vaita. Ini the Gemara says Vatini Rav Yosef Chatzar Ashut Vimba Punda Chayav Behem Alashin Valarego. So remember now we're revisiting the debate that we saw more or less at the beginning of today's shir, and that was a machlokus between Rav Chista and Rav Elazar in terms of Shein Varego on jointly owned property. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and this Braisa is taught to us by Rav Yosef. If I have Chatzar that is partnered by both the Mazik and the Nizak, or a punduk, or a hotel, some sort of inn, chayv b'hem al shem v'al arego. So here, I'm going to be liable for shem v'arego. To yufta de Rebbe Elazar. This is a very strong question against the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Not only a strong question, it's a refutation. Meaning Rebbe Elazar says that under those circumstances, there's going to be an exemption. According to Rebbe Elazar, the only time you're obligated for shem v'aregel is only if damages occurs bis day acher, in the Nizak's property. This is not exclusively the Nizak's property, and yet the Brisa says that you're going to be chayev. So this is a refutation of Rebbe Elazar's position. So Rebbe Elazar says, look, I have no way out of that Brisa. However, I have another Brisa. Let's learn now Brisa number two. The Brisa number two, Arba Klolos Haya Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar said that there were four principles, and they are, Benizikin, sorry, when it comes to damages. Four principles in terms of whose property. Kol shehu reshus l'nizak v'lo l'mazik. If the property belongs to the damaged party, not to the damager, chayav, b'kol. So then you're going to be obligated for everything, meaning Karen, Shane, Regal. De mazik v'lo l'nizak. If the damages occur on the mazik's property, on the damager's property, pater mikol. So then there's going to be a full exemption. Again, going back to the argument that we made earlier, trespassing. It's my property. Stay off my lawn. And if you come on my property and any damages occur while you're on my property, to you or your property, I'm exempt for any form of damages. Karen, Shane, and Regal. Lazeh, ulazeh, if the property is owned jointly, kagon, chatzer, shutfim, vehabeka, here, jointly owned property by the Mazik or the Nizak or a valley, pater. Pater ba, ala Shane, vala Regal. So, on Shane and Regal, you're going to be exempt. Why? Because it's not day acher. It's not exclusively the property of the Nizak. Perfect. And this Braisa is clearly supporting the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Al negicha, val negifa, val neshicha, val revitz, val abiita. However, if it is goring, or any subcategory of goring, so tam shalom chati nezek, mu mishalom nezek shalom. So if it is a... If it's a tom, so half damages. If it's a muad, full damages. Low,
it doesn't belong to
it. Huh?
That only or it doesn't belong to
it. Or property? No, property is jointly owned. Remember, the exemption is only for Shane and Regal. The exemption is not for Karen. So Mishalom Nezek Shalom. So then you pay for whatever you pay for. The damages are sure. Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Let's say the property is owned by neither. Kigon chaser shein shel shneihem. Let's say the damages occur on somebody else's property. Chayv bo l'shem v'al rego. So then you'd be obligated to pay for the damages of shem v'rego. Al negicha v'al abita v'al negifa v'al revitza v'al abita tam v'sham chati nezek. Mu'ud misham nezek shalem. And for all your sure damages, for your Karen damages, so then you pay for either tam chati nezek, mu'ud nezek shalem. Anyway, what did we just hit in the Brisa? Ben already picked up on it. So the second Brisa says that if it's a property that's jointly owned by the Mazik and the Nizak, and damages occur on that property, so the Brisa says you're going to be pater on Shein V'Regel. This is exactly the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. So although the Rav Yosef Brisa is a clear refutation of the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, the second Brisa is clearly agreeing with Rebbe Elazar and is a support for Rebbe Elazar. So Kashya Ahadade. The Gemara makes a statement which is kind of obvious, but really is a segue into the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, these two Brises are disagreeing with one another. Meaning, essentially what the Gemara is now saying is, do you think maybe there's a way that we can create an agreement between these two Brises? So the Gemara says, Kitanya hi bechatzim yecheres lezeh ulezeh lebein leperos bein leshvarim. So the Gemara says, maybe we could do like this. We could say like this. In the second Brisa, we're talking about where not only is it a partnered field, but each partner has full access to the partnered field. Meaning, that's Brisa number two. In Brisa number two, so we can bring whatever we want onto the property. Fruit, animals, it is a jointly owned property with full access. That's Brisa number two, and that's where you're going to be putter. For reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. Haida Rav Yosef, Brisa number one, Bechatzim Yuchas LaParos V'Enim Yuchas LaShvarim. Brisa number one, yes, it's a partner property, but with limited access. There are association rules. Sorry. I'm speaking to the South Floridian crowd. They get it. There is association rules. You cannot bring Shvarim onto the property. So yes, it's a jointly owned property, but with limited access on the property. So therefore, under those circumstances, you're going to be obligated on Shein Verego. Ulagabi Shein hu havila chatzer denizak. And as far as Shein is concerned, is considered the chatzer of the nizak. Now, let's see if we can intuit and like understand these halachas a little bit better. Again, this goes back to the point that we made a little bit earlier. When you're talking about the exemption of Shein Verego in a Rishus Rabim, so what's the basic argument? The basic argument is the animal has every right to be there. It is a public domain. There is expected traffic on it, and I'm perfectly within my right to walk my animal through Rishus Rabim. My animal's going to walk, that's Rego. My animal's going to eat, that's Shein. So therefore, anyone who encounters and gets damaged by my animal through Shein Verego, that's something that he should have been much more careful about. The Torah does not impose a liability on me when I'm trafficking through an area that I'm entitled to go through. So, in Brisa number two, we're talking about a partnered property where I have every right to bring my ox to that property. In this regard, it's basically like a Rishus Rabin, because I had every right to be there. And so therefore, any damages that occur as a result of Shein Verego, I'm going to be exempt because I had permission to be there. However, in Brisa number one, in Rav Yosef's Brisa, where it describes that I'm only allowed to bring fruit onto the property, but I can't walk oxen through the property, so then in that regard, as far as Shein Verego is concerned, it is considered Tzdei Acher. It's considered his property, meaning because I don't have permission to bring my oxen onto that property. Good. And the Gemara says, and now what we said all this, they cannot meet Diktani. The Gemara says, now, reread the two Brises, and what you're going to find is that this distinction that we just made, although we tried to be Miyashev it, truth be told, it's a really good answer. Because if you reread the Brises, you're going to see this is actually pretty much stated in the Brises. Dumya de Pundog, because look, in Brisa number one, we described a hotel. Okay. I understand I'm giving a modern reference to the Gemara, but it's a great way to think about it. Try walking animals through your hotel lobby. Okay. See how quickly staff is going to come up. Okay. In other words, you can't do it. Meaning a hotel is a perfect illustration of, yes, it's a partnered property, but no, you do not have permission to bring whatever you want through that property. So, and that was Rav Yosef's Brisa. And that's why in Rav Yosef's Brisa we said you're chayev. And the second Brisa, v'ketani hasam dumya debika. The example that was given the second Brisa is partnered property and a valley. A valley, it's open. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, this answer that we just gave, explaining the difference between Brisa number one, Brisa number two, it's a beautiful answer. It reads beautifully into both Brisas. Maskev l'Rabbi Zera, kev di mechels l'peres habi'ina, nubi'er b'stei acher, v'leika. The Gemara has like an interesting give and take. Rabbi Zera says, well look, you know, in the Rav Yosef Brisa, it's a jointly owned property, and both of us can bring fruit onto the property. So how can you call that stay acher? So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says back to Rav Zera, "Came the enemy Yechel Shvarim, stay acher Karina Bay." And Abaye says, "Yeah, but you can't bring your oxen there, and because you can't bring your oxen there, so as far as oxen are concerned, it's considered stay acher." It's like it was an interesting give and take. Where basically Rabbi Zera says, "What was the? I'm kind of stuck on the Havamin," and Abaye's like, "Yeah, but I'm on the Maskana." Meaning, exactly as we just explained, when you are restricted from bringing your oxen onto that property, so that's not considered, for damage purposes, a jointly owned property. Okay, it's considered stay acha. Amle Rev Acha, me difta la Revina Lema, me demas nisa. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, good. Let me demas nisa lo pli gamarai namen lo pli gay. So the Gemara says, well, let's make a suggestion, and that is, look, we just created Shalma Yisrael in the two Brises. We quoted Brisa number one, we quoted Brisa number two, and even though they seem to be at odds with one another, we just gave a beautiful explanation of how to resolve the two Brises. So, if we make Shalom between the two Brises, you don't think we can make Shalom between the two Amorayim? Unity. So the Gemara says, Amar le in the imtim sa in lomar de pligi, bekusha de rabbi zera uve piruka da baya pligi. So the Gemara says, you know what? Good. I like that suggestion. And the Gemara says, and if you want to suggest that there's a machlokis, so there's a machlokis just like we saw the exchange between rabbi zera and abaye. Meaning rabbi zera was bothered by, it's a jointly owned property, you can bring fruit on it. And Abai's answer was, yeah, but you can't bring the oxen on it. And so therefore, vis-a-vis oxen, it's not a jointly owned property, and therefore qualifies as steacher. Gufa. Okay. We're going to go back to the braisa that we quoted, and we're going to try to revisit and understand the four categories mentioned in the braisa. Arba klolos hayu rabbi shimon ben elazar omer ben zikin, kol shuv rishus anizek v'lo lamazik chayev b'chol, ala kolo ketani ela chayev b'chol. So first one, the Gemara quotes category number one. Category number one is where damage was done on the property of the Nizak. It says in the Braisa, Yerchayev Bakol. And what the Braisa is not saying is Alakol. But rather it's saying Chayev Bakol. Bekule Nezek. And that means that you have to pay the entirety of the damage. Money, Rabbi Tarfani, Damar, Mishuna Karen, Bechatzer, HaNizak, Nezek Shalem, Mishalem. So the Gemara says, well, this is a tip to the position of Rabbi Tarfon. As we will be learning later on, we haven't seen this yet in the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon's of the opinion that, although time and again we keep saying that when it comes to the damages of Karen, there's a distinction between Tam and Muad, Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, that's true, but with a notable exception. According to Rabbi Tarfon, if the damage occurs in the property of the Nizak, you always pay full damages. The why we'll discuss later on. In other words, right. In other words, Tam and Muad is no longer a factor when damage occurred on the property of the Nizak. So that's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. So, and that's the pshat in the Braisa, meaning that's why the Braisa says, Al Hakol, you're going to always have to pay for everything, regardless of Tam and Muad. So the Gemara says, Ema Seifa. The Gemara says, okay, but let's continue. Lola zeva, lola zeh, kigon chaser shena shoshneim. If I have a property that does that belongs to neither, chayiv ba ala shen v'ala regel. So I have to pay for shen v'regel. My lola zeva, lola zeh. So what is meant by neither this nor that? Ilem lola zeva, lola zeh klal eladacher. So is the Bryce here describing a third party property? So the Gemara says v'abi no beer b'steachir v'leika. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's interesting. If it's a third party property, you're not obligated for Shein V'Regel. In fact, you're exempt from Shein V'Regel. The obligation for Shein V'Regel only comes b'yir b'stei acher, when my animal goes into somebody else's property. So the Gemara says, Ela pshita lo lazeh v'lo lazeh, ela dechad. So the Gemara says, so it must be, that's talking about where it's not owned by one, it's not owned by the other, meaning it's not owned jointly, it's owned by one of them. Uktani seifa tam mishalem chatzi nezek, omuad mishalem nezek shalem. Now, meaning, the damage occurred in the property of the Nizak. And meanwhile, the Braisa went on to say, well, if it's a Tam, you pay Chatzi Nezek, and if it's a Muad, you pay Nezek Shalem. Well, we're now stuck, Asan LaRabbanan, because that takes us to the opinion of the Chachamim. Meaning, that although we tried to explain the ratio like Rabbi Tarfon, where once damage is done on the property of the Nizak, you're always going to pay full damages. Meanwhile, this part of the Braisa is describing where damage is done on the property of the Nizak, and you're going to be paying a split between Tam versus Muad, which is the opinion of the Chachamim. Damri Mishuna Karen Bechaser Anizak Chazi Nezak Hu Demeshalem. So Karen in the property of the Nizak is going to be paying Chazi Nezak. So Reisha Rabbi Tarfon V'Sefer Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, now is that going to be true? That as we are going through the Braisa, we are switching positions? So the Gemara says, yeah, it's not the best. Well, the Gemara never loves it, but yeah. Daha Amar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinana Shvok Masisan Visa Abasrai. So he says, leave the Mishnah and follow me. Reisha Rabbi Tarfon V'Sefer Rabbanan. So when Shmuel taught this Braisa to Rav Yehuda, Shmuel always reminded Rav Yehuda that when you're learning this Braisa, you're going to have to realize that there is a shift in the Braisa. The Braisa starts at Rabbi Tarfon's position and moves to the Chachamim's position. Ravina Mishmei Derava Amar Kula Rabbi Tarfon He. So the Gemara gives another approach. Ravina says, no, that the entirety of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Umay lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. Now, the problem was is that the latter case in the Braisa seems to be talking about damage that was done on the property of the Nizak, and the Brisa then went on to describe how Tam pays Chatzi Nezek, Mud pays Nezek Shalem. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's not true. So the Gemara says, what we're going to have to do is reinterpret that case. Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh leperos. Ela dechad. Lazeh v'lazeh leshvarim. So the Gemara says that it is, again, what we described earlier, a jointly owned property where there's restricted access onto the property. So, so as far as the damages of Shein are concerned, it's considered Chatzer Nizak because there is limited access to the property. You could bring fruit onto the property. Each partner could bring fruit on the property, but you're not allowed to bring animals onto the property. So once there's a restriction of bringing animals onto this jointly owned property, so as far as the damages of Shein are concerned, it's considered Ubir B'stei Acher. And therefore, you'd be obligated. Legable peros. Now, as far as Karen is concerned, it's considered a Rishos Rabin. So the Gemara says, because remember, by Karen, you're always going to be liable for the Karen damages, regardless of whether it's in a private area or in a public area. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, Arba Shlosha Havu. So basically what we've done now is that although when this brisa was introduced, it gave us four different scenarios, but now really when all said and done, it's not four, it's really three. Because this case over here is a jointly owned property, which is what the brisa described earlier as a jointly owned property. The only difference between the two cases is where case number one was a jointly owned property with full access, full rights to bring whatever you want on it. And the second case is a jointly owned property with limited access. But truth be told, is that it's really all one scenario. So the Gemara says, so really the number should not go be a four, the number should be knocked down to three. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak. So the Gemara says that what we'll have to say is Shlosha Klolos Be'arba Mekamos. So the Gemara says, really truth of the matter is, you're right. It is three different scenarios. But because there's a difference in halacha between a jointly owned property with full access versus a jointly owned property with limited access, so that's why the Tana broke it into four. You're right. So there are three principles, but four different permutations of how they're going to work out. Okay, Adkan. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the new Mishnah, and we will continue discussing various halachas regarding the basics of damages.